Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Vav, and we are at the Mishnah, about 15 lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Rafal Chaim Shayashov ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Baruch Tzvi ben Shloimis Vega, Chaim ben Yama Mordechai ben Ida, Ya'el Bas Bela, Chizkiyo Shloimis Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, and Eliakim Getzel ben Brana Esther. Today's daf's also being learned, Le'ilu Nishmas Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Chaya Bas Jamila, Shloimis Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan. So we're moving along now in the discussion of the Lamed Tes Melacha. So if you recall, Perek Klal Gadol began with a Klal Gadol, with a very important rule as it relates to someone that's Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigig. Meaning, if someone was Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigig many times over many Shabbosos, how many Chatoris would he have to bring? And the Mishnah said that it depends on what the basis, what the core of the Shkaga was. And depending on that, that would determine how many Chatoris you'd have to bring. The Mishnah referred to that as a Klal Gadol. That idea, that sugya, Shkogois Chatois took up the first part of the parak. The second Mishnah discussed the halachos of somebody, the Lamitas Malachas, the epic Mishnah, Avis Malachos, Abam Chaser Achas. Mishnah mentioned the 39 Malachas and then concluded, Hare Elu Avis Malachos, Abam Chaser Achas. What the Mishnah is going to do now, really pretty much until the end of the Masechta, is discuss in great detail the Lamed Tes Melachos. And it begins with another klal. So the first klal of the perek was referred to as a klal gadol. This is just referred to as the other klal. Says the Mishnah, V'oy klal achar amru. There's another klal that Chachamim said that's important in Hilchas Shabbos, specifically as it relates to the Melacha of Hoitza'a. So Hoitza'a was the first sugya of the Masechta. It's also the first of the 39 Melachos that the Mishnah discusses as it goes into greater detail, as it delves into the Melachos. So what's this rule? Kol HaKosha LaHatzniya, anything that people will sometimes hide, meaning something that people will store, something that people view as being chashuv, umatzniya kamayu, and you have the shear of that item that people store, for itziya b'shabbos, and somebody carries it on Shabbos, chayiv chatas olav, if he does a b'shoigig, he's going to have to bring a carbon chatas. So when is somebody chayiv a carbon chatas for hoitza'a, carrying from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hasharabim, or Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh Hashayachid, or Dal Ramas Rosh Hasharabim? It's not if he carries anything. There's actually a specific definition of what the item has to be in order for him to violate the Malach of Aitzah. It has to check off two boxes. Number one, it has to be kosher latznia. It has to be something that people typically would value, something that's considered chashev. If it's something that no one considers valuable, it's something that people would ordinarily throw away, even if you carry it on Shabbos, sounds like a chiddush, the halacha is you're not over the malach of Aitzah. Additionally, it would have to be something people value, but also a shear of it that people value. If, however, somebody carries something that's not kosher latzin, that people don't value, or ve'imatzin kamayu, or he carries something that people value, but not the shear, then the halacha is he's not chayev, ela hamatzin. You have to read the fine print. Unless you're a person who is machshev this thing. So if you yourself are machshev this thing that other people are not machshev, and you carry it on Shabbos, so you yourself will violate the Malach of Aitzah. But as it relates to other people, just because you're machshev it, it doesn't mean that another person that carries that thing that you're machshev is going to be chayv. So the Gemara kol kosher latzniya lafukamai. So the Mishnah says that the only time you chayv in the Malach of Aitzah is if you carry something that's kosher latzniya, something that people consider to have some value. But if it's something that everybody throws away, nobody would treat it as chashuv, then if you carry it on Shabbos, you're not going to be chashuv. So what's an example of something that's not kosher latzi? Rapapa said lafuke dam nida. Dam nida. Well, nobody keeps their dam nida. Marukva said lafuke atze asherah. Lafuke atze asherah, wood of an asherah tree, which is asur bahana, And being that it's asur b'anah, even if the wood is valuable, but obviously you're not going to keep it around because you can't do anything with it. You can't benefit from it. As a result, it's not a dover that's kosher latzi. Says the Gemara, mandam adam nida, the mandam, but that's adam nida kolshke atzei asher. If dam nida is considered something that people don't value, certainly atzei asher. Why certainly? Because atzei asher, again, is asur b'anah. You can't do anything with it even if you wanted to. So certainly that's not something that is considered of value. Man dama atzei asher, but man dama that said atzei asher. Aval dam nida mitznolei. Could be he purposely said atzei asher. He didn't give the example of dam nida, and the reason is because people sometimes would hide their dam nida for who? Who are they keeping it for? L'shunra, to feed it to their cats. V'idach, the man dama that says that dam nida is something that's not a kosher lahatznia, meaning nobody would keep it, not even to feed the cat. Why not? So the Gemara says, kiven the cholsha loy matznolei, because if the cat will eat the dam nida, it's going to cause the woman from whom the dam nida came out to become weak. And it's for that reason people would discard the dam nida. They didn't even want the cats to get a hold of it. So what's this all about? If the cat eats the dam nida, it's going to cause the woman from whom the dam nida came out to somehow become weak. So Rashi says that there's an idea that if somebody Kivan decholsha, hamaychol dam ha'adam lechasul nasa cholosh ois ha'adam. Yeah, that's the way it is. Rashi doesn't give that much of an explanation, but there's a Tosfos, a Maseches Nida, Daf Yudzayin Amud Aleph, where Tosfos explains this a little bit more. Tosfos over there says the context is that the Gemara says that a person is not supposed to throw away his fingernails. In fact, the Gemara says that the Chassidim, they used to burn their fingernails. So the Chassidim, they would serif their nails. So Tosfos says, why would they Chassidim? Meaning, it sounds like this is like some tremendous mysterious nefesh that they do when they burn their nails. Why is that such a big deal? So Tais quotes our Gemara. They see in our Gemara that it was considered somewhat dangerous to have something that emerges from your body eaten or consumed. It's dangerous for the woman to have her dam nida swallowed by the cat. If that's the case, what's the difference between dam nida, says Taisfis, and your nails? That means if your nails are going to be burnt, it's dangerous for you. And if you go ahead and you burn it anyways, so that's already a mili de chasidos. The point is that this idea isn't unique to cats and dam nida, but rather it's a more general idea that the Chachamim felt, Chamira Sakanta Meisura, that if anything emerges from a person's body and it's consumed, be it by a cat or through a fire, it's considered somewhat dangerous. The bottom line is, the mandama that said that dam nida is not something that people would store, meaning you would discard it, you wouldn't even feed it to your cats, simply because it's dangerous. Our Mishnah is not like Rab Shimon. Now, our Mishnah said a few things. So which part of the Mishnah is not like Rab Shimon? So Rashi says, the Mishnah gave a rule. The Mishnah says that if you have something that people typically value, if you carry it on Shabbos, the halacha is going to be chayav. What if I have something that people typically value? 75% of the world's population values it, but I'm a fine schmecker. For me, it's not chashav. I personally would not value it. I would get rid of it. So what's the halacha then? If I carry it, am I going to be chayav or am I not going to be chayav? In the Mishnah, it sounds like you would be chayav. But Zok the Gemara, Reis Reb Chanina said it, that's not like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, Amar Lei, Amru Kosh, Yur Malolo, Elo Lematzniyayim. There's no such thing as general rules. You don't go bus a roiv. You don't take a survey and determine what's chashav or what's not chashav. Rather, you look at each individual person, whatever he would be machshav, that's what's going to be considered chashav. The end of the Mishnah said, V'chol she'enoi kosher lehatznia. Let's say you have something that most people do not value. However, you yourself value it, then if you carry it, you're going to be chayav. I'm Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, ha, the like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So the first comment was that the reish of the Mishnah is the like Reb Shimon. The second comment is that the last line of the Mishnah is the loy, not Reb Shimon, but rather Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Tanya learned to the Brisa, Kalam Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Kol she'inu kosher latznia de'matznia kamayu. If you have something that people typically don't value, but the huchshel is evitznia, but somebody does value it. He went and he stored it somewhere. Uba achav vayitzia, somebody else came and he carried it. Neschayev zev machshav shozeh. Even though you yourself are not the one that hid it, you're not the one that gave it value, somebody else did, but if you carry something that even somebody else values, that would be enough for you to be chayav. So just to summarize what we just said, the Mishnah gave the second klal, a much lighter, much less intense klal than the klal gadol that we began the parag. So what's the second klal? As it relates to the malacha v'etzah, the only time you're chayav is if you carry something chashav, something that people value. The lashon of the Mishnah is kalakosher lehatzniyah. Not just that, it has to be umatzniyah and kamayo. You have to
carry a shear of this thing that people value, that people would value. So check off the box that something people value, and check off the second box that has to be the appropriate shear as well. The Mishnah said, if you have something that most people value, and it's the shear that people value, and you carry it, doesn't matter if you value it or don't value it, taloch is you're going to be chayev. We look at what people usually would consider this item to be, and that's going to determine whether you're chayiv. And then the Mishnah concluded, and the Mishnah said, what if you yourself value something that people don't value, and you carry it, you're going to be chayiv. Someone else not, but you carry, you're going to be chayiv. Said the Gemara that this Mishnah is really not like something Reb Shimon said, and not like something that Reb Shimon Elazar said. Reb Shimon said a very big kula. He said that we don't look at what people do. You look at each individual person. So if there's something that the Rav of the Olam values, but you yourself don't, you carry it, the halach is you're going to be potter, because we look at each individual person. Reb Shimon said a kula. Our Mishnah didn't say that kula. Our Mishnah said you look at every at the majority of people. You don't necessarily look at the individual person. Our Mishnah is also not like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, because Reb Shimon Elazar said a big chumrah. He said that once you have something that one person values, if he does something to it, he does a maisa, he's matzniyat, that even if somebody else would carry it, he would be chayav. Zok the Mishnah. So we just mentioned a klal. The klal is that the only time you're chayav for the melacha v'itzah is if you carry something that's kosher lehatzniyah umatzniyah kamot. So it has to be something that people value, and you have to carry an important shear of it, a shear that people value. So from here now, we're going to go through Mishnah after Mishnah, daf after daf. It's going to be technical, but there's a lot of important Gemaras and Yesoidas that are going to come out of these Gemaras, where we're going to be discussing specific items. What shear makes it chashuv as it relates to the halacha of the Mishnah, umatzniyan kemoyu, only if you carry the appropriate shear are you going to be chayv. Says the Gemara, Haboitzi Tevin, if somebody carries straw from Rishos L'Rishos on Shabbos, then kemoloi pi paru. If you carry the amount of straw that it would take to fill up the mouth of a paru, you're going to be chayv. If it's less than that, not. What does straw have to do with a paru? Because the meichel of a paru was typically straw. So being that a paru is usually the person that ate straw, so if you would carry the amount of one feeding, meaning a maloi pi of a paru, that's what determines its chashivas. Atzel, if somebody carries atzel, we'll see what that is in the Gemara. Kemaloi pi gomel, it's the amount that you would need to feed a gomel. A gomel's mouth is bigger than a paru's mouth, so it's actually a larger shear. That'll be important in the Gemara. Omer, if somebody carries omer, it's kemaloi pi tlet, the amount of a sheep. Asovim grass, kemaloi pi gdi. Ali shov, ali b'tzolim, if somebody carries leaves of garlic or leaves of onions, lachem, if they're moist, kegreifus, the shear is a greifus. Yveshim, if they're dry, kemaloi pi gdi, then it too is kemaloi pi gdi. Says the Mishnah that all these different things are not mitzdarif. I mean, if you take a little bit of teven and a little bit of atza, if you would combine these things to make the shear, it wouldn't work. And the reason is because they don't have the same shear. Tosfos says that that's not entirely true, because there were some things in the Mishnah that actually did have the same shear. We'll see that a little bit better in the Gemara. The point is, wherever the shiurim are not the same, then the halacha is they're not mitzdarif. So the first item mentioned the Mishnah was Hamoitzi Teva.
How much straw does somebody have to carry in order to be chayav for the malacha v'itzah? The amount it takes to fill up the mouth of a paru. The second thing the Mishnah said was atzah. How much atzah do you have to carry? The amount that it takes to fill up the mouth of a camel. My atzah, what is it? I'm Rav Yehuda. Tevin shalmina kitnis. It's the tevin of, it's the straw of beans. So there's different types of straw which, interestingly, make a difference in halacha as it relates to the malacha of Eitzah. Yes, Rav Dimi Yomar. Rav Dimi came to Eretz Yisrael. The Bavli reported the following. He said, what would be if somebody carries straw, the amount that you would need to fill up the mouth of a parah, but he didn't carry it for a parah. He carried it for a gomel. So it sounds like from the Mishnah, the parah ate teven, the gomel ate atzah. This person carried teven for a gomel. So what's the shaila? The shaila is that the gomel's mouth is bigger than the parah's mouth. Being that it's bigger, the amount of teven that he's carrying is not enough to fill up the mouth of the gomel. Do you say that being that teven is typically fed to a parah, and you are carrying enough to feed the parah, so I'm carrying something chashav, I'm going to be chayv? Or do you say that, no, I'm giving it to the gomel now, and the gomel's mouth is bigger, like we saw. So if the gomel's mouth is bigger, so maybe I'm not going to be chayv. So Reb Dimi says, I'll tell you what they said in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan Amar chayv, Rabbi Shimon Lakash Amar Potter. Says the Gemara, Ba'urtam Rabbi Yochanan Hachir. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said at night. Letzafra came in the morning, and Hadabay, and he was chayzer. So the Gemara says, meaning he agreed that the loch is going to be pot. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Shavra Abba the Hadar. I think Rabbi Yosef was right for being chayzer. Why don't I chazer the gomel? Because at the end of the day, even though you carried what the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to carry,
Kari, it was Tevin Kamloi Pipara, but over here you did it for the Gomel. The Gomel's mouth is bigger, you can't feed the Gomel with this. So based on that, I think Rabbi Yochanan was smart and wise for coming around and being Chayzer in the morning. Abaleh Abaya, so Abaya told Rabbi Yosef, as he always does in Shas, and the Rabbah, says, I disagree with you, Rabbi. I think Rabbi Yochanan was right the first time, the Chazi Lepara, because at the end of the day, what makes Tevin Chashev the fact that it's a chashev shir, it's a portion. Who usually eats the tevin? The para eats it. As long as you have enough tevin to feed the para, now it's chashev. If I carry something chashev, we care why I carried. The malach of Eitzah doesn't care why you're carrying. It just cares about whether the thing that you're carrying is chashev and whether it's the right shir. At the end of the day, I carried something that's usually fed to the para, a proper portion. It's kamalai pi para. Based on that, you should be chayev. So the Gemara says, Eliki also Ravin Amar, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he actually said a little differently. He said, Amaitzit tem kamalai pi para l'gomel d'kulam l'pik d'chayev. He said what Abaya had said. So Abaya got it right. He said that if somebody would carry tevin, the amount it would take to fill up the mouth of a para for a gomel, everybody would agree chayev. What Rabbi Yochanan had said originally, and Reish Lakish, who in Rav Dimi's version said Pater, in Rabin's version he agreed Chayev. Abaya's Svar is a right Svar. At the end of the day, you carried a full portion of Tevin. So why shouldn't it be Chayev? Ki Pligi, the Machlokes was B'moitzi Atza. He was talking about someone carried Atza, Kimloi Pi Para Lepara. So you carried Atza, which is usually Michael Gmalin. You carried it for a Para, and it was actually Kimloi Pi Para. That was the question. The question is, over here you're going to be Chayev, you're not going to be Chayev. What's the question? Atza is usually fed for camels. A camel has a bigger mouth than a para. So there's a bigger shear that you would have in order to be chayev. Here you carried the lesser shear, but you weren't carrying it for a gomel. You were carrying it for a para. And the lesser shear that you carried was actually enough to feed the para. So do you say, I took out food for the para, it's a davar chashuv, for the para it's the right shear, so I'll be chayev. Or no, atza is Michael Gmalin. And if it's Michael Gmalin, it has to be a proper shear for a gomel. And I don't care about the fact that you're carrying it now for a para. That was the shayla of the ipcha itmar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Potter, in Rav Dimi's version, Rabbi Yochanan said chayev, Reish Lakish said Potter. He added just the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan said Potter, Reish Lakish Amar Chayev. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Potter, Achlai Dat Chak, Lish Mayach Chilo. Reason the old Potter is because parois do not eat atza. And even though Al Yedei Atchak, if you run out of Tevin, you may try to sneak in a little bit of atza to feed your cow, but in halacha, that's not called an achila. Achila Al Yedei Atchak lo shma achila, which has implications in other areas of halacha as well. But as relates to this, with the parah and the gomel and the atza and the Tevin, it's not called achila, so you didn't carry a shir achila. Reish Lakish am a chayev. Reish Lakish says you're chayev, because even though you didn't carry kamloi pi gomel, you carried kamloi pi parah, and even though the parah doesn't usually eat it, but Al Yedei Atchak does, and Reish Lakish holds a lumdus achila idea atchak shma achila, and it's for that reason you're going to be chayev. Amir kemaloi pi tle. How much amir do you have to carry in order to be chayev? So the Mishnah said the amount it would take to fill up the mouth of a sheep. Vatanya ki gregus. We learned somewhere else. It's like a gregus. So to yomari idiv idi chachiyuri. You have to say it's the same shit. Then the Mishnah said alishav alib tzolim lachim ki gregus. Somebody carries leaves of garlic and leaves of onions. If they were moist, the shear is a gregus. The evasion, if they're dry, then it's kemaloi pi hagdi. The aim it start from zem zeh. All these things are not mitzarf neish loyshava b'shiurein. Again, when are they not mitzarf? When it's loyshava b'shiurein. So, for example, we just saw that the meloy pi tle is a groigris, and we said ali shum and ali b'tzolim, if they're lachim, it's also a groigris. It is the same shir. So those would be mitzarf. But wherever it's not the same shir, says Tosfos, that's what the Mishnah means. Over there, they're not going to be mitzarf. Om Rabbi Yisrael Chanino, a mitzarf from the chomer shabehem. When we say it's not mitzarf, it means it's not mitzarf for the chomer. However, abel mitzarf in the kal shabehem. Meaning, there were certain items that the Gemara refers to as being more chamer as it relates to the shear. Certain items that the Gemara refers to as being kal as it relates to the shear. What makes something chamer? If it has a smaller shear, it's more chamer. If it has a larger shear, it's going to be more kal. So for example, what was the shear of Tevin? Kimloi pi paru. What was the shear of Atza? Kimloi pi gomel. We said that the mouth of the gomel is larger than the mouth of the para, which means that you need to carry less tevin than you do atza in order to be chayv on Shabbos, which means tevin is more chamer, because if you carry less of it, you're already going to be chayv. So tevin, the thing that has the lesser shear, is going to be the more chamer. You carry less of it, you're chayv, hence it's more chamer. The thing that has the larger shear, that's the one that's going to be more kal. So Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina said, when we say that it's not mitzarif, it means you can't take the dover kal and add it to the davar chomer to be mitzdarf. But you could take the davar chomer and add it to the davar kal to be mitzdarf. It's almost a kal v'chomer, pun intended, right? If it could be mitzdarf with the davar chomer, it could be mitzdarf with the davar kal. So the point is that if you had atza and you're trying to fill up the shir of kimloy pi gomel, you could add a little bit of tevin to be mashlam the shir. But if you had tevin and you want to add a little bit of atza, being that atza is the davar kal, you can't be mitzdarf it to finish the shir. Says the gemara, is that true? V'chol v'sham b'shir ra'im. Meaning, you're telling me that it's possible for two things that have different shiurim with regards to a specific halacha, they could be mitzdarif. How so? The davar chomer could be mitzdarif with the davar kal. You just can't be mitzdarif the davar kal with the davar chomer. Mara says, "Vatayan." We learned in the Mishnah, "Habeged gimel gimel." If you have a beged that's three tvachim by three tvachim, it's big enough or small enough to be mekabel tumah. Vasak dalar adal. If it's a sackcloth, it's made of goats here, it has to be dalad adal. V'ha'or, hey, oh, hey. Mapitz, va-va-va. V'tani, Allah, beg of asak, asak, va-or, or va-mapitz, mitzdarif, and zem zeh. There are certain things that could be mitzdarif. From Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon said, my time, what's the reason that those things are mitzdarif? Nation, really, the time of Moshe. Because these things were sometimes actually put together. Rashi says people would sometimes make saddles for their donkey out of these combination of different meaning. Usually, you're not going to make a beggar that's a little bit of or, and that's a little bit of mapitz, or a little bit of sack. That's once upon a time the way things were. But a mardas for a chamar, that's something that sometimes people would sometimes make of different meaning. As a result, you could make a beged that would be royal lekabel tumah out of a combination of these different materials. It's for that reason that if you now combine those materials and you have a shear, the halach is, it would be metama. Says the Gemara, what do you see from here? Taima deruyon letami moishav. The only reason we say that different materials could be mitzdarif to have a shear that's mekabel tumah is because sometimes the mitzias is people will make something of these things. Abel ain roy l'tamei moshav. However, if people will never make something of these materials, I mean, you'll never have a situation where you have a material that's a beggar that's made up of these two materials that we're discussing now that it should be mekabel tumah. So then the halach is if you mitzdarif it together, it's never mitzdarif. And by the way, it's not mitzdarif. Even the chomer can't be mitzdarif to the kal. Because in this Mishnah, you have the beged, which is metama gimel al gimel, that's chomer. The sack is a little more kal, dalad al dalad. The or has to be even bigger, hey al hey. The mapitz has to be vav vav vav. So why are you telling me the only time these things are mitzdarif is mipnei shiru'uyin litamim moishav? It sounds like without this reality, this fact that sometimes people would make begadim out of these materials combined, it would have no being mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina just said a major yisoid that two things that have different shiurim could be mitzdarif as long as it's the davar chomer adding to the davar kal, not the davar kal adding to the davar chomer. From this gemara, it would seem not that way. Amar Rava, Rava said hachinami chazi ledogma. Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina never said what we thought he said. Meaning, we assumed that what he said was that the reason the chomer can be mitzdarif with the kal is because that's the rule. Two things that have different shiurim, the chomer can be mitzdarif with the kal, the kal can't be mitzdarif with the chomer. Says the Gemara that's really not what he meant. Rava says, you know what he meant? He meant that Mishnah that the Gemara just brought that discusses the beged gimel agimel sak dalad adal that they can be mitzdarif when but people sometimes combine it. The reason it could be mitzdarif in our Mishnah is also because people sometimes combine. When would people combine all the straw? So Rashi says, Misha yesh lo gimkar, when people would sell straws, so that they would sometimes put it all together. You want to see, we have a nice variety in our store. Come in, we have atza, we have amr, we have tevin. So people used to combine it there too. Because people combined it, then the chomer could be mitzdarif with the kal. If somebody carries food, so the first Mishnah discussed, somebody carry maichel behemah. What if somebody carries maichel adam? Says the Mishnah, ki groigris, if you carry a groigris, chayiv. Why a groigris? This is the rule. We're going to get used to this. That most shiurim, as it relates to oichlin on Shabbos, is biki groigris. So even oitza, which is not a melacha that's exclusive to oichel, but if you carry an oichel mirshus lishus, the shear for you to be chayiv is a groigris. So mitzdarif from zenze, all different foods are mitzdarif. So if you have a half a groigris of one type of food, another half a groigris of another type of food is mitzdarif. Neishu shalav b'shirei, because here the shear is the same. Chutz, now when you measure the groigris, so you can't take the entire food into consideration. So you have to omit klipasan, the shell, the garinem, the pit, the uktseim, that's the ukitz on the bottom, Rashi calls it the zonov, the suban umursana. Additionally, the bran. The bran, no whole wheat. So that gets removed as well. Rabbi Yehuda says, chutz mi klipe adashin, shemespash lo simom. Now when we said that you don't count the shells, there is an exception to that. Adashim, lentils, its shell would cook together with the lentils. They didn't take it off. As a result, it's considered part of the food. If it's considered part of the food, it combines to the sheer groyim. Says Gemara, assuming the son of limit start from. That's true that the bran of grains don't count for the sheer. But now we learned in the Mishnah, chameshes revoim kemach va'oid chayovim bechalo. So this is a Mishnah Meseches Chala. It's discussing the sheer of chala, and it says what the sheer is, and the Mishnah continues and says hein v'suba numersana, that the bran counts. So why should the bran count for the sheer chala? Make sure you have enough dough for challah. You can count the brand. Yet you don't count the brand when it comes to the shear itza. The reason is because the ani, the araman, he used to sometimes eat the brand. Apparently the whole wheat and the whole grain, these were foods that the araman used to eat. Because he couldn't go through the extra labor, the extra effort of removing it. So being that he used to eat it, so it's considered part of the shear challah. But as relates to chashivas of itza, it's not considered chashiv. It doesn't count for the shear grapes. Rabbi Yehuda said that even though the time of the Mishnah said that we don't count the klipasan, the shells of the food, but the shells of the lentils that are counted. So the Gemara says, adashin in pulin loy. It sounds like only adashin as opposed to pulin, different beans. Gemara said, a time we went to the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chutz miklipe pulin ve'adashin. So the Brisa seems to contradict the Mishnah. And the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, there's one exception to the rule adashin. Here we have a Brisa where he says pulin and adashin. So the Gemara says, like Kasha, ha bechadeti, ha be'atiki. When Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that the pulin count, it's in the Brisa that the pulin count, he was talking about new pulin. When he said in the Mishnah that they don't count, meaning the only time it counts is by adashim, but not pulin, he was talking about old ones. Says the Gemara, what's the difference? I think he might time aloy. Because if you're going to eat some sort of porridge that's made of these pulin, and you're going to leave the bran inside, the bran's going to look like bugs. It's going to look like you have flies in your soup. And nobody wants to eat it. It's just not appetizing. Maybe it doesn't taste bad, but it doesn't look good. And as a result, people would remove it. Being that people would remove it, it wasn't cooked with it. So the halacha is, it's not going to be mitzdarif with regards to Shabbos. And on that note, hadron halach klal gadol. So just two ha'aras as it relates to lamites malachis. And again, we haven't really gotten into the lamites malachis yet. We just started the Mishnah a few days ago on daf ayin gimel amud aleph. So keeping it big picture, as it relates to Lamites Malachis, two rate bites. The first one is something that we started yesterday. The Mishnah said that Avos Malachis Arbam Chaser Achas. Then the Mishnah mentioned the 39 Malachis, and it concluded, Hare Elu Avos Malachis Arbam Chaser Achas. And the Gemara Dafayin Dalid, Dafayin Heyam and Beis asked, why did the Mishnah have to chazer over a second time? There's 39 malachas, and by the way, there are 39 malachas. All right, we know, there are 39 malachas. So the Gemara said, lafukim to Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah was coming, lafukim to Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya relented to Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Moisef. Rabbi Yehuda added two malachas that weren't mentioned in the Mishnah. Hashoivet, the hamidaktik. So shoivet and medaktik are two malachas that were related to weaving. But regardless, Rabbi Yehuda incorporated shoivet and medaktik as part of the malachas. Amru loy, the Chachamim told Rabbi Yehuda, shoivet is not a malacha, hareu b'chal mesach, which is one of the lamites malachas. Medaktik is not its own malacha, hareu b'chal oireg, it's included in weaving. But Rabbi Yehuda had two additional malachas. He had the malacha of shoivet, and Rabbi Yehuda also had the malacha of medaktik. So we mentioned yesterday that it would appear at first glance that Rabbi Yehuda has more than 39 malachas. The Mishnah mentioned 39 malachas. Rabbi Yehuda was meisif es ha-shoivet ha-medaktik. It sounds like he added to the list of 39 another two. He has shoivet and he has medaktik. So at first glance, it would seem that Rabbi Yehuda has 41 malachas. The kash is, everyone knows it's 39 malachas. All of a sudden, you have a shittas Rabbi Yehuda that holds that it's not 39, it's really 41. Va'oid, what happened to the fact that we learn Melechus Shabbos from Melechus HaMishkan? There's so many halachas that we learn in Hilchus Shabbos from the Melechus HaMishkan. It's based on the fact that the Torah juxtaposed the parasha of Shabbos and the parasha of Mishkan. The Torah didn't do it once. The Torah did it twice. The Torah did it in parashas Kisisa, smack in the middle of all the parashas that talk about the Mishkan, and then the beginning of parashas Vayakel. So, Luchura, if there's a connection between Shabbos and Mishkan, and Chazal seemed to have a very strong Messiah about this. So, if that's the case, it's 39 Malachas. There were Lamites Malachas in the Mishkan, which means that there were Lamites Malachas on Shabbos. Here you have a Rabbi Yehuda that seems to see it a little bit differently. So, yesterday we mentioned the Ha'ara based on a tshuva from Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzin in the Shoyal Meshev. It's in Madura Kama, Chelik Sheni. It's in the end of tshuva Samach Aleph, where he said something beautiful that he saw in the Sefer Maaser Rekeach. He calls it a Margolis Toiva. He says, I found a Metziah in the Sefer Maaser Rekeach. The Maaser Rekeach was coming to explain the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that permeates Masechet Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda holds a Malacha Sheni Tzricha Legufas Chayev. Rabbi Shimon holds a Malacha Sheni Tzricha Legufas Potter. Said the Maaser Rekeach, you know what the Hezbo and the Machloikis is, because the Gemara says in Maseches Chagiga Daf Yod, Ayin Shom Berashi, that why is it the Rav Shimon holds that a Malach HaShein Yitzricha L'Gufa is Pater? Because when a person does a Malach HaShein Yitzricha L'Gufa, it's not Meleches Machsheves. Meleches Machsheves means, like the Targum Unkelah says, Maisa Umnin. It has to be done, the Malach, in the way that a professional would do it. And a professional, when he does a Malach, it's Tzricha L'Gufa. It's not in a Tzricha L'Gufa. And being that Meleches Machsheves has retired, that's where Rav Shimon holds that a Malach HaShein Yitzricha L'Gufa is going to be Pater. So the Maisa Rekeach said something beautiful. He said, based on that, you could understand Rav Yehuda Shimon. Because how do you know Malachas Machsheves Asur Torah? It's from the Smuchin. It's from the fact that the Torah wrote the parasha of Mishkan and the parasha of Shabbos right next to each other. Rabbi Yehuda's the Sheet and Shas that doesn't darshan Smuchin. So if Rabbi Yehuda's the Sheet and Shas that doesn't darshan Smuchin, this is Rabbi Yehuda L'shitasai. Rabbi Shimon darshan Smuchin. So Rabbi Shimon said that Malachas Machsheves Asur Torah, a Malachas Shein Etzricha L'Gufa, is going to be Potter. But Rabbi Yehuda's Sheet is that he doesn't darshan Smuchin. If that's the case, there's no smichos between the parasha of Shabbos and Mishkan. There's no limud. You can't learn anything from there. So if that's the case, there's no makar, there's no source to the halacha. Malachas machsheves asur toira. There's no malachas machsheves asur toira. So then malachas shein yitzricha l'gufa is going to be chayiv. Why shouldn't it be chayiv? The only reason it should not be chayiv is you'll tell me because it's a malachas machsheves. But Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that there is no din malachas machsheves because it's based on smichos. And Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasi, the Gemara says many times in Shas only darshan smuchem in Mishnah Torah, but in Bereish Shmois Vayikrim Bamidbar he did it. These are psukim in Shmois. So said the Maaser Rekeach based on that. Based on that, says the Maaser Rekeach, we could understand Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzin went on and he said, with this you can understand the Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Mem Beis, where the Gemara, at least in the Havamina, seemed to relate and feel that if you hold like Yehuda, that a Malach HaShein Tzricha L'Guf is Chayiv, you have to hold like the other big Rabbi Yehuda, that Dov HaShein Mischavin is Chayiv. And if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that a Malach HaShein Tzricha L'Guf is Potter, you have to hold like the other Rabbi Shimon, that a Dov HaShein Mischavin is Mutter. And the Gemara comes out, maybe not, but there's certainly such a tzad in the Gemara in Perakir, Shabbos, Membez, and Aleph. And at first glance, a very hard Gemara to understand. They're two important machlaikas in same names, but it's not the same machlaikas. One is Dov HaShein Mischavin, one is Malach HaShein Tzricha L'Guf. What does one have to do with the other? Says Rabbi Yosef Shaul, you know what the pshat is? Because Rashi says in Bava Kama Daf Chavav, based on that sugya, that why does Rabbi Shimon hold Davashen Mischavin as Mutter on Shabbos? Because Malachas Machsheves Asur Torah. In other words, the reason Rabbi Shimon holds that a Malachas Shein Yitzricha L'Guf is Potter is the same reason he holds Davashen Mischavin as Mutter. It's because Malachas Machsheves Asur Torah, a Malachas Shein Yitzricha L'Guf is not a Malachas Machsheves, and a Davashen Mischavin is not a Malachas Machsheves. The reason Rabbi Yehuda argues in both cases is because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Malachas Machsheves Asur Torah. He doesn't hold of Malachas Machsheves Asur Torah because Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso he wasn't Torah smuchin. So the same Rabbi Yehuda who said, I don't care about a Malachas Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, or because man of shachir chayev, because there's no demalachas machsheves asur toyer, because smuchin you only darshin a mishnah toyer and save a dvarim. This isn't sefer shemois. It's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa who held that a davar shein mischavin is going to be asur. So the two are very much related because it boils down to are you dairish smuchin or are you not dairish smuchin. Either way, so we said if you have a Rabbi Yehuda shita who holds that you're not dairish smuchin, and if that's the case, there's no connection between the mishkan and Shabbos. You don't have the smichos. That's why malachas shein is. That's why a Dov HaShein Mischavin is going to be Chayiv. So this is the same Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't have Lamites Malachas. Lamites Malachas is based on the connection between Shabbos and Mishkan. It's all the same Rabbi Yehuda. The same Rabbi Yehuda that holds Malachas HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa Chayiv, Dov HaShein Mischavin is Chayiv. He holds Afa Shoivet Vamedakdei. He has 41 Malachas. But that was yesterday's raid. But la'achara iyun, it's obviously something that's sarach bir, because at the end of the day, to say that there's a shittas Rabbi Yehuda that holds of 41 malachas, it's sarach bir. Besides, the Gemara had other sources, other makairis to lametes malachas. We had the Gemara in Daf Mem Tesam Beis, where the Gemara says that maybe the reason we have lametes malachas is to correspond to the 39 times it says in the Torah the word malacha. We had the Brisa that the Gemara mentioned, and the Gemara is going to mention again, Eila Hadvarim, the beginning of Parashas Vayakov, Vayakov Moshe, Eila Hadvarim, Sheishas Yomim Tavoy Vasisa, and Eila says the Gemara is Begematria 36. Dvarim, with the hay, is another 3. So you end up with 39. So there's other makairis to lametes malachas. This just simply say that because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the connection between Shabbos and Mishkan, Vishitasa, who doesn't hold the malachas machsheves, that's why he doesn't hold of lametes malachas, a little bit tzarech bir. And if that's the case, Hadra Kushi L'duchte, we're back to the drawing board. We have to figure out that why is it that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, at first glance, it would seem to be not 39 malachas, but rather 41 malachas. I looked around a little bit this morning, and I found a Margolis Teufa, to quote Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzin. I found a beautiful metziah, a Polish chap in the Gilyonei Ashas for Rabbi Yosef Engel, and this is here in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amid Beis. We've had a few times, and we're going to continue to have, there's a machloikis between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yosef. The malachas of the Torah were mentioned like in the with the pasuk loisasakol malacha, meaning the Torah didn't single out the malachas. However, there is a malacha that was singled out, and that's the malacha of loisivaru esh b'chol moish v'seichem b'yoyim ha-shabbos. And the Tanaim argued as to why was it that the Torah singled out the malacha of loisivaru esh b'chol moish v'seichem. Rav Nosson said l'chalik yotzis. Rav Yosi said l'lav yotzis. What does l'chalik yotzis mean? It means that the reason the Torah singled out the one malacha of Shabbos was to teach us that each malacha is viewed as an individual malacha as it relates to Shabbos. Meaning, if somebody would do many malachas on Shabbos, b'shoigeg, b'helem echad, how many chatois would he have to bring? So we know. We learned Perek Klal Gadol. We just said, we just made the Hadron. It was the third rule of the first Mishnah in Klal Gadol. If each malach is viewed as a separate iser, toichen is to koitzer, like dam is to chelev, and as a result, if you do two malachas b'shoigeg, b'helem echad, you bring two chatois. If you do two malachas b'shoigeg, b'helem echad, each one of the lametes malachas is a separate malacha. That's Rabbi Yochanan said throughout Perek Klal Gadol. If somebody would violate all 39 malachas on Shabbos, b'helem echad, he would bring 39 chatois. It's not more than 39, but he would bring up to 39 because each malach is viewed as an independent iser. What's the source to that? Rav Nosson said, you know, we knew that. Chazal knew that because the Torah singled out one malacha. And it was lechalik yotzis to show that each malacha is separate, is individual. You don't just lump all the malachas in together. They're viewed separately as it relates to the chatas. Rabbi Yosi argued. Rabbi Yosi said, no, Havara wasn't lechalik yotzis. Havara was lelav yotzis. The Rashi and Tosfos in their beer of Shitas Rabbi Yosi on Daf Ayin Amar Aleph, again, we're going back to some of the Gemaras that we learned in the last week, asked a very bombekasha on Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson said that the reason the Torah wrote Le'sevar Eish B'chom Eish V'seichem B'yem HaShabbos was L'chalik Yatzis. Meaning, without that pasuk, how would you know each malach is viewed individually? So you know what the Torah did? It individualized the malacha. It took one malacha. He said, you're going to be the paradigm. You're an individual malacha, so now all malachas are going to be L'chalik Yatzis. Ask the Rishonim again. It's in their beer of the Braisa of Shitas Rabbi Yosi, of Shitas Rav Nosson. Is that true? There are no malachas that was singled out. You have a pasuk. Shmois Lamedalit, Sheshes Yomim Tavoid, Ubayoim Ashvi Tishbois, Becharish Uvakotzer Tishbois. What does Charish mean? It's Charish. What does Kotzer mean? It's Kotzer. Those are two of the Lametes Malachas. So why did Rav Nosson need Leisavarish, Bechomach Vesechab Yem HaShabbos, Lechalik Yotzes? I know Lechalik Yotzes already from Becharish Uvakotzer Tishbois. Why can't I learn it from there? Says Rashi in his second Teretz, and Tosfos says the same thing. Tosfos brings both truths from Rashi and says, this is the real Teretz. The reason you can't learn from Becharish Uvakotzer Tishbois, because this is a classic example of Shnei Ksuvim Abayin Ke'echad. And the rule is, Shnei Ksuvim Abayin Ke'echad Ein Melamed. What does that mean? That means if the Torah teaches me something not once, but twice, you know what that means? Sometimes more is less. If you tell it to me a second time, now I can't learn anything from it. And the svar is very simple. Because if the Torah felt that I can learn something from this pasuk, Torah wouldn't have to tell me twice. Meaning, if you can learn from Becharish, Lechalig Yatzis, why did Torah have to say Becharish of Akatzer? Just say Becharish and I'll know Kaitzer is Lechalig from Becharish. If I can learn from Bakatzer, then just say Bakatzer. Why did Torah have to write Becharish? From the fact that the Torah said Becharish uvakatzer tishbois, you know what that means? It's Shneik Subim Aban Keachad. It's the Torah's way of saying, I can't learn anything from Becharish. I can't learn anything from Bakatzer. I can't learn from Becharish. I can't learn from Bakatzer. So if that's the case, I don't know Lechalig Yatzis from Becharish uvakatzer tishbois. How then do I know Lechalig Yatzis? I know it from Leisavaru Esh, Becholmoish Veseichem, Yoyim HaShabbos. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel. So it comes out, this is basic math. And that is that Rav Nosson, who holds, Loisivaru Esh Bechol Moish Veseichem B'Yoyim HaShabbos, is Lechalik Yotzis. He has to hold that Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echot Ein Melam. Because if Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echot Melamdin, then you can't tell me that the Torah wrote Loisivaru Esh Bechol Moish Veseichem B'Yoyim HaShabbos to teach me the halacha of Lechalik Yatzis, because I know Lechalik Yatzis from Becharish of Akatzer Tishbais. The teretz is, Rav Nosson has to hold, that Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod Ein Milandin. What would be if you held Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod Milandin? What would be if you held the reverse? Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod Milandin. Then you would know Lechalik Yatzis from Becharish of Akatzer Tishbais. So what would you do then with the pasuk that says, Leisavaru Esh Bechol Moish Veseichem B'Yom HaShabbos? Again, this is math. You would have to hold like Rabbi Yossi, that Leisavaru Esh Havara is Lelav Yatzis. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, and here's the chab, that take a look in Mesechah Sanhedrin, Daf Samech Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara over there discusses the sugya of Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod. And the Gemara brings Rabbi Yehuda Shita. And you know what Rabbi Yehuda Shita is? Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod Milandin. If Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod Milandin, that means I know the Chalik Yatzis from Becharish of Akatzer Tishbois. If I know the Chalik Yatzis from Becharish of Akatzer Tishbois, I don't need Leisavaru Esh Bechol Moish Veseichem B'Yom HaShabbos to teach me the Chalik Yatzis. I know it from Becharish of Akatzer Tishbois. So what do I do with the pasuk Leisavaru Esh Bechol Moish Veseichem B'Yom HaShabbos? Must be it's Lelav Yatzis. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel. Hold the thought. That means we just proved, checkmate. We demonstrated with some back of the envelope arithmetic that Rabbi Yehuda holds, like Rabbi Yossi, the Lav Yotzis. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, if that's the case, I'll tell you Pshana Rabbi Yossi, because it's a tshuva from the Chavis Yoyer. The Chavis Yoyer says in a tshuva that according to Rabbi Yossi, that holds that Avara is Lelav Yotzis, big time Chiddush, Mechaba is also Lelav Yatzis. If Havar is not a real Melacha, there's no Chatas, there's no Skila, there's no Karas, all it is a Lav, Mechaba has to be the same way. Mechaba can't be more than Havar. It's like Kaisav and Meichik, it's like Kaisar and Matar. Right? They're the two sides of the same coin. Mechaber is when you make the fire. Mechaber is when you extinguish the fire. If Havar is Lelav Yatzis, according to Rabbi Yossi, it comes out then that Mechaber is also Lelav Yatzis. If Rabbi Yehuda holds Havar Lelav Yatzis, how do you know Rabbi Yehuda holds Havar Lelav Yatzis? Mechaber is from Nasr Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda never said, who else holds, by the way, who holds that Havar is Lechalik Yatzis? Rabbi Yishmael, because Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha was once Karavahita, and he wrote in his Pinkus, the Kishiyabana Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to bring a Chatas, not just a Chatas, a Chatas Shemeno. What did he do when he moved in there? He did Havar. See, he held Havar as Lechaligas, but we don't really know much about the other Tanam, whether they held Lechalig Yatzis or Lelav Yatzis. But says Rabbi Yosef Engel, I just proved that being that Rabbi Yehuda holds Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echon Melamdin, see, he doesn't need Leisavaru Esh to teach me Lechalik, because he knows it from Becharis of Akasha Tishbois. It's like Rashi and Tosis both say in Shabbos Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. If that's the case, must be he holds the Lav Yatzis. If he holds Havar as the Lav Yatzis, then the Chav is also the Lav Yatzis. For that we have a Chavis Yor. The Chavis Yor said the two are contingent upon each other. The Toli Zebazay said there's no way that Havar is a Lav, but Mechab is a Chatas. Can't be. So if Havar is a Lav, that means Mechab is a Lav. If Rabbi Yehuda holds that Havar is a Lav Yatzis, and he holds Mechab is the Lav Yatzis, that means Havar and Mechab are both not real Melachos. What's the definition of a malacha? What's a malacha? You bring a chatas if you do it b'shoigig. You chayav skilu rachmanu litzlan and karis if you do it b'mezid. But if all it is a lav, it's bad, but it's a slap. 39 slaps on the wrist. But that's what it is. It's not a malacha. If it's not a malacha, so what do you do with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is missing two malachas. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have avara, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have mechaba. Rabbi Yehuda was maisif. You know what Rabbi Yehuda had? He had shoivet and he had medaktik. Shoivet and medaktik are not 40 or 41. that 38 and 39, because Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasi was missing two malachas, being that he was missing two malachas, he had to make up the malachas with Shoivet and made it up with Medaktek. This is all seven lines in the Gilyonei Hashas, classic. Seven lines in the Gilyonei Hashas and the Sechah Shabbos, Dav Tzadik Zayin Amid Aleph, that's the first aura. The second aura is, so again, malachas, big picture. So we know that the Lamed Tes malachas are related to what was considered a malacha chashuva in the Mishkan. That means all the Lamed Tes malachas were done in the Mishkan. Now the truth is, we didn't really talk about this, but the malachas in the Mishnah, the Lamed Tes malachas, are really divided into groups. The first 11 malachas that the Mishnah mentioned, so the Gemara referred to those as the malachas that are sidura de pas. These are the malachas that a person would have to do if he wanted to bake bread. So, first thing you would have to do is be Zaireya, then Chayrish, or maybe first Chayrish and then Zaireya. Then you'd have to be Koitzer, right? You have to reap. Vama'amr, you'd put the grain into bundles. Then you would do Dash, you'd winnow, that's Zaira, Bayrer. Toichen, you grind the wheat, then you merakeh, you sift it, then you wash, you knead it, vayif, and then finally you bake it. So if you do the math, it's 11 malachis, and the Tana mentioned these 11 malachis as it relates to Sidur the Pas. But we saw in the Gemara that really, when these malachis were done in the Mishkan, they weren't done for preparing bread, because there was no bread necessary in the preparation of the Mishkan. Now, there was bread in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan itself. You had menachis, you had the Lechem Aponim, but Pashtus, we'll see a little more about this later, but the Pashtus is the Lamed Tes Malachos of the Mishkan that are somehow the starting point as it relates to the Lamed Tes Malachos on Shabbos, with the Lamed Tes Malachos that were done in building the Mishkan, in preparing for the physical structure that was the Mishkan. The Lechem Aponim happened after the fact. The Menachos were brought later. So the point is that if the Malachos, as they were done in the Mishkan, weren't really done for bread. So when were these Malachos done? So they were done for Bishul Samamonim. There were certain dyes that were necessary in order to dye the curtains. So there were three or four curtains of Machlokes in the Gemara, earlier in the Masechta and Perek B'mem Madlikin. How many curtains there were that covered the Mishkan? But these curtains were dyed. They were dyed with purple wool and Toila Shani. And as a result, being that you needed these dyes, so where are you going to get these dyes from? So what they had to do is they had to literally manufacture them. You put seeds in the ground, and then you chayresh, and then you kaitzer, and then you ma'amer, and then you dash, and you pyre, and you etc., etc., etc. That's what the Lamed Tes Malachas were. Now, the reason the Mishnah didn't talk in terms of samamonim, the Mishnah talked instead in terms of bread, is because the Tana Mishnah wanted to be a little bit more practical. He's talking to the people. So most people, we bake bread. Oh, I break bread, so I have to know exactly how to bake my bread, or what I can't do on Shabbos. It's something that people could relate to. But in terms of where these malachas were done in the Mishkan, it wasn't in terms of baking bread, rather it was in terms of the Bishul Samamon. And it's a little bit of a dachuk, because really the Avos Melachos are based on not how you bake bread, based on what was in the Mishkan. And the Gemara said there's a big nafkamina, because really the Av Melacha is Bishul, it's not Oifa. Because for Samamon, for these herbs, for these dyes, they didn't bake, they cooked. So the Amalach is Mishal, it's not Oifa. And yet the Mishnah said Oifa, which is the wrong word. Still, Sidur the Pas, not God. And that's where the Tana of the Mishnah mentioned it. Again, we saw this already on Daf Ayin Dalad Amid Beis. But there's a very important kasha, a bumba kasha that the Pnei Yeshua asks, that's very, very obvious. And that is that you're telling me then that the Lamed Tes Malachis were all done in the Midbar. Meaning, when the Yidden in the Midbar were preparing for the Mishkan, they did Lamed Tes Malachis. So they were Zaireya, they were Chayrish. Frank, the Pnei Yeshua, where were they Chayrish in the Midbar? They were Zaireya in the Midbar. What were they doing in the Midbar? They were Zaireya? The Midbar, to quote Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Koyamar Hashem, Zacharti lochesen urayich, ahavas kelu loisayich, lechtech acharai b'midbar be'eretz loizaru. It's a posse. It was an eretz loizaru in the Midbar. So what do you mean there was Zaireya? Where were they Zaireya? Azoy freak to Pnei Yeshua. It's good kasha. He says, what do you mean? These are the Lamed Tes Malachas from the Mishkan. Well, we got all excited Sunday morning with all the rain. This is mamash what they did in the Mishkan. Lamed Tes. Would they do this in the Mishkan? There was a Reya in the Mishkan. They were Chayrish in the Mishkan. As I freak the Pnei Yeshua. Says the Pnei Yeshua, and it's a dachuk, but the Pnei Yeshua says, you have to say that it's true. They were never Zaireya in the Mishkan. They were never Chayrish in the Mishkan. They weren't Kaitzer and Ma'amr in the Mishkan. They never did these things in the Mishkan. However, in the Mishkan, for the Melechas HaMishkan, they used materials
that were created via Zareya and Chayrish and Kaitzer and Ma'amer. So even though it's true the Yidden in the Midbar didn't physically do these malachas, but at the end of the day, they were using things that were a creation, that were a product of those malachas. I mean that these things that they used were a product of those malachas. So how did they have these dyes? Oh, because there was someone who was Zareya once upon a time. Somebody was Chayrish once upon a time. That's enough to make Zareya and Chayrish a critical malacha for the malachas on Mishkan, and that's why it counts as Lamatas malachas. Meaning at the end of the day, any malacha that needed to be done in order to build a Mishkan is considered a malacha l'Shabbos. Not necessarily that the Yidden themselves did these malachas l'shem yichud kutcha bericho mitzvah srichas chavana for the Mishkan. That's not what happened, because where could they have done this for the Mishkan? They found out about the Mishkan in the Midbar, and in the Midbar it was an Eretz Lezeruah, so there was no way for them to have been able to do this. But what it means is, at the end of the day, they're using materials that came about as a result of Zerei and Chayrish. That's why Zerei and Chayrish go down in the annals of Melacha as Blamet as Melacha, because at the end of the day, it was done. Where was it done? I don't know where it was done. But at some point in time it was done, and being that it had to be done at some point or another, that makes it Chashev, and that's why it counts as one of the Lamatas Malachas. As I state in Pnei Yeshua, if you want to look it up, it's on Daf Ayin Hey Amid Aleph. It's in the Sugya of Hatzod Tzvi. The Gemara spoke about the Tzod Chilazo, and he throws it in, he's Mavliya it in Tzod Tzvi. The Michas Chinuch in Moisach HaShabbos, in Mitzvah Lamed Beis, asks the same kasha as the Pnei Yeshua. He says, Shuv Matzasi, I found that the Pnei Yeshua asks this question. He brings the Pnei Yeshua's Teretz. He says that the Teretz I like, my preferred Teretz, is the Pnei Yeshua's Teretz, which we just mentioned. However, he says and offers another suggestion. And that is, there's a Gemara in the Seches Chulin, Daf Peches Lamed Beis. So the Gemara over there is discussing the halachas of Kisei Adam. It's in Perek Kisei Adam. We just finished the classic Perek Klal Gadol. Kisei Adam is another classic Perek. So in Perek Kisei Adam, the Gemara over there is discussing what type of offer can be used for Kisei Adam and what type of offer cannot be used for Kisei Adam. And the Gemara over there says that if you want to use offer for Kisei Adam, so there's some very technical criteria that you have to meet. One of the things is it has to be a Dover Shezoyrim Boy Umatzmiach. It has to be offer that you could be Zoyreya in this offer, Umatzmiach, and something is going to be able to grow from it. Lamute what? So it's mavur in the Gemara, lamute offer in the midbar. Offer in the midbar is a davar she ein zayrim bayu matzmiach. You can't be zayre, you can't put seeds in the ground and expect something to start growing. It's an eretz loy zaruah. So as a result, you wouldn't be able to use the offer in the midbar. You wouldn't be able to use the offer in the midbar for the halacha of kisei adam. Tosfos on that Gemara asks Akasha from a sugya in Mesechs Avodah Zarah, another festive parak, parak kolat slavim. And the Mishnah over there is discussing, if you have Avodah Zarah, so what do you have to do with Avodah Zarah? You get rid of it as fast as you can. And there's a machlokes Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim, how you get rid of Avodah Zarah? Rabbi Yosi Yomer, shoycheg, you grind the Avodah Zarah, v'zayra l'ruach, of Mesechs Shabbos fame. You winnow it, you throw it up into the wind, and you let it get, just let it blow away. Oy matal yam. Or if you want, you can throw it into the yam. Amru Leil Chaman told Rabbi Yosi, Afu nasa zevel. No, that's not a good idea. Because if you're going to do that, it's going to become fertilizer. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to somehow inadvertently end up benefiting from this. And the pasuk said, Le'yibak biyadcham u'umim and acherim. So that's not an option. You can't do that. So therefore, the Chaman told Rabbi Yosi, when you're going to be Zayr l'ruach, how could you be Zayr l'ruach? Says the Gemara that the Mishnah just mentioned the machlokes. But there's a braisa that tells the rest of the story. Tanya. Amru Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi told the Chacham, you're going to tell me that you can't winnow Avodah Zarah? That you can't take it and just blow it up in the air? Why? Because you're worried about fertilizer? It happened once in history. The Pasuk says, after the Chet HaEgel, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, I took the Egel, the esrei foisa be'esh, and I burnt it. The ekois oisoi tochin heitev, I grinded it really, really well. And as a dokla offer, it became so fine, it was like offer. The ashlech asafari el anachla yoyim inahar, I just got rid of it. Frey, said Rabbi Yosi, what are you going to tell me? That you can't, that it's not okay to be Zoyer Avodah Zarah? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do with the Egel? The Egel was the great Avodah Zarah of all time. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? The Pasuk says, Lokachti, the Esreif Oisai Va'esh, the Ekois Oisai, Tochain Hetev, Ashadok, Va'ashlach Asafarei. And I threw it up in the air. So the Gemara says, I'm like, Chaman told Rabbi Yosi, what do you bring me a Raya from there for? Misham Raya, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just let it go up in the air. It says, Va'yizer, Milosh and Zoyer, Va'yizer al Pnei Hamayim,
Vayashkes b'nei Yisrael. He put it into the water, and people had to drink it, and this was one of the determining factors to be able to figure out who did do the egel, who didn't do it. But the point is this. The point is that Rabbi Yossi brought a raya, that you're allowed to take Avodah Zarah, grind it, and then winnow it. Miloshin Zaira, as in one of the Lamed Tes Malachis, you don't have to worry about the fact that it might be fertilizer. Why? Because that's what happened in the Midbar. You see, in the Midbar, they weren't worried. So what should be the problem? Frey Toysa Geshmaka Kasha. Says Toysa, I don't understand Rabbi Yossi. We just learned the Gemara Chulin Peiches Amid Beis, where the Gemara says you can't use Afran in the Midbar for Kisei Adam. Why not? Because there's a rule in Kisei Adam, you have to use offer that's a dover shezoyrim by a matzmiach. Something that you can sow. Something that's going to be a matzmiach. In the Midbar, nothing grows. If the Midbar, nothing grows, then what's Rabbi Yossi's kasha? Rabbi Yossi comes with a kasha. He says, I'll prove to you, you can take Avodah Zarah and just winnow it. You know what the raya is? The raya is because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did with the eagle. Yeah, where did Moshe Rabbeinu do it with the eagle? In the Midbar. That was the chet eagle happened in the Midbar Sinai. That's where it happened. So if it happened in the Midbar, it was an Eretz Loy Zeruah. If it was an Eretz Loy Zeruah, nothing was fertilizing anyways. What was going to grow? So what's Rabbi Yossi's raya? As I pray Toysfis, says Toysfis, a tremendous yesod that's quoted a lot in the world of raid, and that is Yesh Loimar the Shani Hasa. Maybe there it was different the Bemidbar Havel, because they were in the Midbar, and maybe when they were in the Midbar Hayom Matzmiach, maybe things would grow. Says Tosaf, could be in the Midbar when the Yid were in the Midbar, things would grow. Meaning, it's true, nothing grows in the Midbar. It's a davar shezoyrim by ve'enoy matzmiach. And as a result, you can't use offer Midbar for Kisei Adam. But you're telling me when the Yidden were in there, the Yidden were there, it was different. Being that when the Yidden were there, it was different, so then already things were matzmiach. That was Rabbi Yossi's raya. So Tosfos says, I think I have a raya from Rabbi Yossi and Avodah Zarah of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. It's unbelievable. Everything is interconnected, interwoven, interlocked. And that is, you see from there, that Rabbi Yossi holds that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, it was an Eretz Zeruah. Things were able to grow. Because if things weren't able to grow, then I don't understand the conversation that Rabbi Yossi and the Chacham are having in that braisa. But the bottom line is, Tosfos gave us a nugget to work with, at least in the world of raid. And that is that when the Yidden were in the Midbar was of a different status. Things were able to grow in the Midbar. Says the Minchas Chinuch in classic Minchas Chinuch style, that based on this Tosfos and Chulin, maybe Kimiyashu, the Pnei Yeshua is Kasha. Pnei Yeshua says, I don't understand. The Lamed Tes Melachos correspond to the Mishkan. We're in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was built in the Midbar. We're in the Midbar. Did they do Zereya? Where were they Chayrish? Where did they do all these Melachos? The Teretz is Tosfos, Chulin, Tzadik, Peiches, of the base. Then when the Yidden were in the Midbar, the offer was a davar shezoyrim by umatzmiach. The raya was from Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Dezar and Gimel Amud Beis. If that's the case, it's very geschmack. That's how they were able to do malachas. The truth is that this Minchas Chinuch and Moisach HaShabbos is really, it's really an Arachayim HaKadosh. The Arachayim is in the end of Parashat Shlach. So the Pasuk over there is talking about the Mekoshish Eitzim. So who is the Mekoshish Eitzim? The Pasuk says like this, Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. The Yidden were in the Midbar. Vayimtzu ish Mekoshish Eitzim b'yem HaShabbos. And they found someone who was Mekoshish Eitzim on Shabbos. Vayakrivu oisa ha'moitzim oisa Mekoshish Eitzim ha'moitz v'alhar. And everyone understood that what this person did was wrong. He had violated one of the 39 Malachas. And they brought him to Moshe and to Aaron and to the whole Edah. Vayanichu oisa b'mishba. They locked him up. They didn't know what to do with him. They just didn't know what you're supposed to do with him. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the halacha. Hashem comes to Moshe and he says, "Moshe, you masa ish. You know what you do with this person? He's chay misa. Roga Moshe b'avonim. Not just any misa. Skila. Bichutz amachane. Vayetziu Moshe kol eidam bichutz amachane. Vayirgamu Moshe b'avonim. Vayomos kashetziva Hashem es Moshe." So this is the story of the Mekoshish Eitzim. The Archaim Hakadosh asks that why did the Torah preface the parsha of the Mekoshish Eitzim with the words Vayiyu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar? Again, Torah wants to tell us a story. There was a person, he was Mechal Shabbos. What did he do? He was Mekoshish Eitzim. What that means, we'll see in a second. He was Mekoshish Eitzim. Moshe didn't even know what to do with him. What do you do with the Mekoshish Eitzim? Chveshish was done with them. I don't know what to do with this person. So Moshe Rabbeinu puts him aside. He says, wait, I'm going to come back to you and I'm going to tell you. Hashem tells him, Skila, and he goes ahead and he gives him Skila. But the parsha, which is so straightforward, prefaces the story, this episode, with Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. Says the Arachayim, well, we don't know that the Yidden were in the Midbar. Where else were they? Of course they were in the Midbar. Says the Arachayim, I'm going to tell you pshat. Because the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, brings three opinions what exactly the Mekoshe Sheitzim did. One man Dama says he was Maitzi Mershus Lashus. He carried Dalet Amos Mershus Arabim. That's what he did. He was over the Melach of Haitzah. He carried four Amos Mershus Arabim. There's another man Dama that says that the Mekoshe Sheitzim was a Toilesh. He did Koitzer. He ripped something out of the ground. There's another man Dama that says, you know what the Mekoshe Sheitzim did? He did Ma'amer. He gathered things together. Says, according to all three of the Pshatim, the only way the story of the negotiation makes sense is with the preface of Ayu B'nai Yisrael by Midbar. Why? The first man, Dama, says that what did he do? He was Ma'amer Dal and Amos B'shus HaRabim. Says, we learned the Gemara. The Gemara is way back in the beginning of the Masechet. That Vav HaMidbeis. The Gemara said that a midbar is considered a Carmelis. A midbar is a Carmelis. Faith in midbar is a Carmelis. We learned the halachas of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from the Yidden when they went to midbar. The Gemara says, oh, when the Yidden went to midbar, it was a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Yidden were all there. That was the place to be at the time. Today, the desert is a Carmelis. So nowadays, the desert is a Carmelis. Back then, it was a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Says the Aruch Chaim, Lefisa, that's beautiful. The Torah is telling me that the Mekoshe Sheitzim, according to that man, what did he do? He carried Dalet Amos Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Dalet Amos in the midbar is not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's only a Carmelis. No, not when the Yidden were in the midbar. Says the pasuk by Yehu b'nei Yisrael by midbar. The Yidden were in the midbar. Oh, they were in the midbar. Ayin Shabbos davav on the days. So it's not a Carmelis the midbar. It's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Vayim tzurish makoshes eitzim yehem Shabbos. That's where it was Chayim Misa. Beautiful. Says the Aruch Chaim. What about the other two pshatim? What about the man that says that it was koitzer? What about the man that says it was ma'amer? So he says gevaldik. He says what's koitzer? You toilish davar megiduloi. What's ma'amer? We just learned the Gemara. He says they were in the midbar. Where was the gedulei karka in the midbar? What were they toilish? They ripped the cactus out of the ground. What were they toilish? Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. You know what the Teretz is? Vayehu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. Toisvis chulim peches amibes. Tois says it's true. Ordinarily the midbar is an eretz loizarua. Ordinarily the midbar is a place that has no value. And ordinarily the midbar is a place where the offer of the midbar can't be used for kisi adam because it has to be a dovish hazoyer by a and the midbar is not a davish hazayir by a masmich, but with the Yidden when the midbar was different. Like Tois brought a ray for Rabbi Yosi and avoid the zarim and gimel amid beis. Vayiyu bnei Yisrael ba midbar. Vayim so ish mekoshes etzim biyoyim haShabbos. But I just want to end with one har, and that is we have two mahalchim. When the Yidden were in the midbar, so they did the lamites melachos. They were done for melachos hamishkan, and those lamites melachos went down as the lamites melachos on Shabbos. And the question is, what do you mean? Where exactly in the midbar did the Yidden do these melachos? Where did they do it? Zireya, they were chayrish. So we have two terutzim. We have the Pnei Yeshua's teretz, which the Michas Chinuch brings and says he prefers, and that is that probably they didn't do it in the Mishkan. In the midbar, they probably had these herbs. Maybe they bought them. Maybe they brought it with them from Mitzrayim. They had them. But at the end of the day, these herbs came through those malachas. So even though the malachas were maybe physically never done for the Mishkan, but at the end of the day, the malachas had to be done at some point, and that's why they go down as the 39 malachas. The second teretz is we have the Michas Chinuch's teretz based on Tosfos Chulin Peches on the days that it could be when the Yidden were in the midbar, another one of the miracles that were going on, they were actually able to grow things. And as a result, they were able to do Zeireya, they were able to do Chayrish, Kaitz and Ma'amer, they were able to do the Malachis, and the Rechaim says the same thing, Vayu B'nei Yisrael by midbar, that's why there was a Mekosh Sheitzim. Because you're right, if the Yidden weren't in the midbar, if we didn't have supernatural events going on, there's no Kaitz, there's no Ma'amer, you don't have all these things happening. The Eglei Tal is another very, very, needs no introduction, but is a very critical work as it relates to the Malachas of Shabbos. So the Michas Chinuch wrote a small chibur called Moisach HaShabbos. The Eglei Tal wrote a very long chibur called Sefer Eglei Tal, where he goes through all the Lamites Malachas, and he starts his discussion of the Lamites Malachas with a psicha. And in his psicha, he says, Yesh lachker bezeh shtei chakiros. He says, I want to talk about two chakiros. The first chakiro, maybe we'll talk about tomorrow, and that is, if the lamites melachos of the Mishkan were the lamites melachos that were necessary for the meleches ha-Mishkan, or what about melachos that were done after the Mishkan was already built? Meaning, we've mentioned so many times that the lamites melachos are the 39 melachos that were done for the physical Mishkan, in the building of the Mishkan. But anything that was done after the Mishkan was already built, at that already wouldn't count. And that's for sure the Pashtos, and that's what Rashi says in Parakla Gadol. But it means for Rav Haigoin clearly said not that way. And he says it seemed to have been a very big machloikis, and he has a beautiful pilpul on that. But he says I have another shaila. And the other shaila is the Pnei Yeshua's kasha. His other shaila is, the other thing he says that we need to investigate is how did the Yidden do these malachas for the malachas HaMishkan? We're in the Mishkan, they were in a midbar, they were the Eretz Lezeruah. It wasn't possible for them to have done things. So we don't have time to go through this, so I'm going to skip to the end. He says, Achyei Shloimar. Shekavanas HaGemara. He said the pshat's like this. He said he found a medrash. It's a Shmois Rabbah. It's Perek Lamed Gimel. Omer Rav Tevyumi. B'shoshe Giyaz Manish Shal Yaakov Avinu Lipatim in Olam. When Yaakov Avinu was ready to leave this world, Kar Labanov, right? We know a little bit about this in Parashas Vayechi. Bikish Legalis Esakeitz. Omer Lemi told him, Hevu Yoidim, I want you to know. Shachodesh Baruch Hu Asad Loimel of Nechem Lassis Mishkan. Hashem is going to tell you one day in the Midbar to make a Mishkan. Eloyia called Sarcha Muchan B'yetchem. Be prepared. Because you're going to be in a desert. So if you're going to be in a desert, how are you going to build a Mishkan in a desert? You're going to need materials. Come prepared. And the Medrash goes on to say, Yesh mehem sheskinu atzman l'dvarim, v'yesh mehem sheshokhu, there were people that even forgot about it. U'kishabam Moshe v'asa Mishkan, yesh mehem sheviu me'atzmoy, v'yesh mehem shloh hevi. There were people that were coming. They had everything that they needed. They had atzei shittim. They had whatever it was they needed. Where'd they get all these materials from? Says the Medrash, because they had inside information. Because Yaakov Avinu whispered into the ears of his children on his deathbed. He wanted to be megalo. I see this. Some of it he wasn't allowed to, but some of it he was allowed to. And one of the things he told them was, one day you're going to build a Mishkan. So he said, oh, one day you're going to build a Mishkan, we're going to need material. And he gave him all the material that he was going to need, and that's how they had it. Says the Eglital, you want to know how the Yidden had all these things when they were in the Midbar? Now you know the rest of the story. Yeah, it's a Medrash. Yaakov told them what to do. So it's true, they brought it with them. They didn't plow. They didn't sow in the Midbar. How did they sow in the Midbar? Okay, there's a Tosfos. In the world of Raid, there's an Eitzah. But at the end of the day, that's not the Pashat Pshat. That's not what the Pnei Yeshua said. He thinks the Pshat is. And even the Mechas Chinuch says he doesn't prefer that Pshat. But the question is, just because somebody was a Reya back in Egypt, that makes it a Malacha Chashuva. It wasn't done for the Mishkan. Says the Eglital, it was done for the Mishkan. It was done for the Mishkan because they had a heads up. They knew what they were supposed to do. And they actually did this for the Mishkan. You know, it's interesting. Who wrote the Sefer Eglital? Just to end with this. Who wrote the Eglital? So it was written by the Avnei Nezer, right? The Avnei Nezer wrote the Eglital. Rabbi Avram Bornstein, the Sochet Shavir Rebbe. He's the one that wrote it. It's kedai to read the Hakdama of the Eglital. There's parts of this that are famous. But really, the whole thing is beautiful. One of the things that he writes is that the Eglital, his Shver, was the Kotzker Rebbe. Right, the Eglital was an aiden by the Kotzker Rebbe. The Welt says that when the Avnei Nezer was a young boy, see, he was the biggest genius in Poland. The whole Poland was talking about him. Everyone knew that he was a child prodigy, and everybody was lining up. You know, everybody wanted the Avnei Nezer as an aiden. So they decided that they're going to have to find him a very, very special shver, and they figured they're going to send him to the Divrei Chaim, the Tzanzerov. He's going to be, he had a daughter, and he that's the person for the Avnei Nezer to marry. So they say that the Avnei Nezer came to the Tzanzerov, to the Divrei Chaim, and when he came into the Divrei Chaim, the Divrei Chaim fahered him. So he did the faher. The V'chaim said that he's not ready to drink L'chaim yet. Before he drinks L'chaim, he wants him to come back the next day, and he wants to faher him again. So Avnezer was a young boy, I think before Bar Mitzvah even, and he turns to the Divrei Chaim, he says, he's asking him to come back tomorrow for a second faher, but here's the condition. After you faher me tomorrow, the second time, I want to faher you. So the Divrei Chaim looked at him and he said, come again. He says, you want to faher me? So he says, yeah, I'm going to explain it to you. He says, why are you fahering me? Why does a shver faher his Eidim? He says, because it's an idea. You're supposed to marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. You want to be Masi Bita to a Talmud Chacham. So you, based on that, you go and you faher the Eidim. He says, I don't understand. The Gemara says that you should marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. Kayin, right? You're supposed to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. So if you're supposed to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham, how come the son-in-law doesn't faher the shver? So the Avnei Nezer told the Divrei Chaim, he says, I know why. He says, the reason is because he probably soimach on the chazaka. He assumes that probably his shver, when he was an Eidim, when he was a young boy, he went to his own shver, fahered him. So he soimach on the chazaka that he got the faher. But he told the Divrei Chaim, now that I see you're not willing to be soimach on one faher, you need two fahers? I hear. I'm willing to come back for a second faher, but you also need a second faher. And as a result, I'll let you do another faher, but I'm going to faher you. So the Welt says, when the Divrei Chaim heard this, he said, he's too smart for me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle him. And they say that they went to the second best option, who was the Kotzker Rebbe, and the Kotzker Rebbe said, don't worry about it. I'll deal with the Bucher. And he went, and the Avnei Nezer became very close to the Kotzker Rebbe. And it's interesting, because we know about the Kotzker Rebbe, you know, from all the isms, all the one lines. You know, that's really what we know about the Kotzker Rebbe. But if you read the Hakdam and the Eglital, you know, he talks about how his father taught him Torah when he was young. And then he says, when I was 10 years old, I started being Mechadish Chidushim. Achakach nichnasti lefnai velefnin lebeis chavmi adoini moiri verebi zatzal mikotz mikor hachochma vehatfuna mimenu darki yo'iyon lomadati umimenu nizvadi mayikro chidushay toiru be'emes ki loy kolapulpulim chidushim eimo velo yu'umen ki yisuper hashkocha hagedoyla hashkiach olay be'eino pekicho gam be'in yeseda ham limudim vehachidushim. chidushim, and he goes on and on and on. It got late early, but he goes on and on and on to say how his Torah, everything that he got from who? From his Shver. Who is his Shver? The Kotzker Rebbe. So we don't know that much. We don't have Shailas and Shuvas from the Kotzker Rebbe. We have a lot of Sharfa lines, and we know a little bit about Kotz, but in terms of who the Kotzker Rebbe wasn't learning, that we don't know. But if you learn the Avnei Nezer's Shuvas, and you learn the Eglei Tal, and then you read the Hakdama of the Eglei Tal, his own sefer, you get a glimpse of the ge'onus and learning of the Derech HaLimud of the Kotzker Rebbe, and we'll leave it here.